It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
When you're selling, you're still going to make profit, right? If you had the $1 billion, some kind of stuff sitting there, if I say, give it away, you can give it away within a day. But I have $1 billion things, and I want to sell a retail market, then what? I'm going to make a profit. So he was teaching him, sell, make a profit, and then what you do? You should be giving tithe, and you should be giving to poor. The Word of God says, when you make money, God says, when you start giving money, I will open the windows of heaven and pour down the blessing, so you will not have room to store it. So what do? You give it away. Jesus didn't say to him, just throw away your things and follow me. And if he says, sell everything and follow me, now $1 trillion stuff to sell, it might take years. Jesus Christ was teaching him, do the right kind of business and don't forget the poor and give it to the poor. And then he said, take up your cross and follow me. So it's life in this world is not everything luxury. People have to learn to work hard. Now, sometimes money comes from your father or mother or somebody kept the money for you and millions of dollars. Then you don't have the value for that money. But the person who came to America, I heard so many stories, came with a dime in their pocket and became a millionaire. They know how to adjust their money. And then somebody comes to them, say, give me some of your money. That person says, sir, I came here and I had only dime in my pocket and I made now millions. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ is teaching here, do the right thing, business, and do not ignore the people who are working for you or the poor people, see their needs also. Go to the Mark chapter 10, verse 22.
And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
Now see, he says he became sad. His face changed, means he became so nervous and so depressed, and he walked away. And the Word of God says why it happened? Because he had great possessions. Now, Jesus Christ did not tell him anything he could not do it, right? Simply he said, you want to go to heaven? Now, if this person wanted to buy heaven, maybe with his money, Jesus would have said, if you want to go to heaven, give me $10 million. He would be happy to give $10 million and then go to heaven. But Jesus says, I don't want your money. You are rich. Do your business, whatever you're doing. Give it to the poor. Live a good Christian life. And then heaven is belong to you. Follow me with your cross means taking a cross and following. This means hardship, suffering, everything for the sake of Christ. Then you reach to heaven. People want heaven easily. You have to suffer for Christ. There are people, they just want everything with money. Do you know that Philip went to Samaria and Simon got saved, got baptized, and then Peter and John came and laid hand on some Samaritan people who were baptized, and they filled with the Holy Spirit and they start prophesying and things like that. This man said, hey, this is a good thing. He said to Peter, I'll give some money. Why don't you give me Holy Spirit? What Peter says? Peter says, your money will be destroyed with you. You cannot buy the God's power with money. So these rich people, they are thinking, you know, just give to the charity and we will automatically go to heaven. God doesn't want our money. He wants our heart. So this man did not understand. He just came and said, oh, good master and this and that, trying to impress Christ. But Jesus Christ said, if you want to really go to heaven, you have to follow me. Don't go after money. Come after me. So now see, the disciples also got a little bit confused on this. Jesus Christ is going to make clear. Let's read verse 23.
And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?
See, when Jesus Christ simply said, How hard it is to rich man to go to heaven. As soon as the disciple heard this, they start thinking then all rich people will go to hell. Only poor people will go to heaven. So Jesus Christ understood, the disciple got confused from their faces that they are surprised why Jesus Christ said this. So Jesus Christ now repeatedly then saying, But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches. See, now he changes a little bit. Not because you have money you're going to go to hell, but if you make your money your God, then you go to hell. Because there are people, they think they can buy everything or anything by money. And money is their God. God doesn't need anything. Whatever is ours. And that's why Jesus Christ a little bit changed it. And he says, whoever trusts in the riches of this world, they will not enter into the kingdom of God. Paul said almost the same, book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
See, he said it also the same. He said, when you love the money, the love of money is the root of all evil. Why people killing each other? Money. The money is the root of all evil. And if you go after money, money runs from you. Otherwise, you want to make money, you kill people, you destroy people, you manipulate people, do whatever you do to get money. That's what Jesus Christ said to this rich man. You know what? You have billions of dollars property. Why don't you sell it and give it to the poor and then come after me, pick up your cross and come. And so these disciples were thinking, you know, this man is a billionaire and he came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and now no rich people will go to heaven according to the word of God. And Jesus Christ says, no, I'm just trying to tell you, if you trust in money, don't make money as your God. Not only money, people make, you know, their car, their house. There was a one lady who used to come to church. She used to living in a row house before, and she said, Pastor Peter, please pray, I should get a house. And when they got a single house, she started decorating house and not coming to church. And I say, Sister, why are you not coming to church? Oh, I want to enjoy my house. And she's looking at house and enjoying. I say, Sister, this is not the eternal home. One day we have to go to eternal home in a kingdom of God. So if you're looking at house, you might lose it someday. Don't put your trust in this house alone. Now, the people who are not godly, they do business according to the scripture. They do business, they become millionaire, and what happened? Sometimes they kill themselves or somebody kills them. There are millionaires and billionaires died like a fool. We see in the history of the millionaires. Some people want to make a lottery. Oh, now $3 million lottery in New Jersey. If I put a $1 and if I get that lottery, I'll be millionaire. I guarantee you, many people get that money, and instead of they doing what they want to do, somebody kills them before they get it, or before they can bring it to their house, before they go to the bank, or somebody comes and they know this is the person got the money, they go after and try to force that person to give the money, and they kill. And sometimes the people, they get frustrated and they die themselves. And so he says, this is the reason, because the people are loving the money and not loving God. And so many, many people will go astray from the faith of God. So Christian people, they have to trust in God. I learned in here, there are so many Christians, John Wanamaker, J.C. Penney, they start giving 10% to the 90%, and still they had a lot of wealth. So the Word of God is teaching, do not trust in money. Now, people who are not Christian, their mind is in money, 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 money. And they get the money, they lose the money, lose the business, and they become beggars. But if you have Jesus Christ and you trust in God, he says he will open the heavenly windows for you and he will give you whatever you want. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, what he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We don't have to go on begging for money. Psalm 34 or Psalm 37, he says, David says, I was young and now I'm old, but I never saw a righteous man forsaken and his children begging for bread. He says, young lion will go hungry, but whoever trusts in God, his children also will not beg for bread. That's the promise. The little bit what we have, the righteous man, is more than the rich person has. Our money is blessed. Now, there are so many people making much more money than us, but we have peace. We have everything what we need, and that's all we need. And somebody says somebody has 10 houses. I'm not jealous about this, and I don't want to worry about this. See, Jesus Christ is going to tell these disciples what God can do for them. Go back to the Mark chapter 10, verse 24. Yes, start from 24.
And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Now, here also some people make a problem. He said, how can camel go to the needle's eye? I heard there are so many gates. And when the people used to go for business and certain hours, they have to come in the sunset or something. They have the timing. If they don't come, then they will close the bigger gate and they will keep the small gate called the needle eye or eye of the needle gate, small gate. And so when they come, camel cannot go straight like this. They will tell that camel will skew out from that small gate. Right. They will take everything out. So it was, they say, this big camel could go to that needle gate. And so that's what he's saying. Those people understood. But now we do not know these theories. How could Jesus say that camel can go to the needle hole? It's impossible. But he was talking about that small gate. He says, it is easy for this camel to go through that small gate, but for the rich man, it's difficult to enter into the kingdom of God. So the rich man means he's not talking all rich people. He's talking the person who is trusting in money and don't trust God. That person will not enter into the kingdom of God because his mind is on money. Our eyes should be on Christ, on God. Okay, verse 26.
And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved?
Now the disciples start saying, this is so difficult. Who is going to get saved? Everybody is going to go to hell. Let's read verse 27.
And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.
Jesus is saying, you are thinking all the rich people will go to hell. That's not the God's plan. What the St. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then he loved the whole world. Now what he's saying, if you want to go to heaven, receive my Son as your Lord and Savior. I have given you this gift. That's what he's saying. He gave it to the whole world. So that's why he's saying it is impossible with person, but it is possible with God. Means God can change anyone's heart. He can change the king's heart. He can change the beggar's heart. God is not partial. Heaven is for everybody. But only way, he said, you want to come to heaven, be like a little baby. Be like a sinless person. And how can we do it? Only we can do it receiving Jesus Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ, all our sins are forgiven, washed, cleansed, and in the sight of God, we are righteous, just like a little babies. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying. Let's read the verse 28.
Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's.
Now see, Peter started thinking, hey, we were businessmen. You know, Peter was a businessman. He had the fishing partners, and he has a big business. When Jesus called, he left everything, and he followed. He says, now we are almost poor people. What are we going to get? He said, no. God's desire was not for you to leave everything and be poor. He says, what's going to happen? He says, you left everything for me. God says, I'm going to give you 100-fold. You left one house, I'll give you 100-fold houses. Whatever you left, I'll give it to you. So that's the plan of God. God does not want you to be poor. But he says, the key is this. If you're serving the Lord, and if you're preaching the gospel, then you'll get it. Not because somebody gave up something and became a Christian. He says, whoever gave up something and followed the Lord, the purpose is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the motive. When we are busy in the Lord, then God will supply our needs. So the word of God is saying, you have to be serving the Lord and preaching the gospel. You will get 100-fold in this world. Verse 30.
But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life.
See, you will get 100-fold what you left, plus eternal life, but he says it's not easy. You will have persecution. See some of the ministers, when they make millions of dollars, they go after them. But in the worldly people, they may have their own plane, jet plane and everything. They don't go after them. If the minister has so much money, they go after him. So he said, you will get it, but you will have persecution. So point I'm making, the worldly people do not want the children of God to be rich and having money. So that's why he's saying, you get 100-fold, but you will have some persecution. Verse 31. We are going to finish it soon.
But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again.
Jesus Christ is telling how he is going to suffer, how they're going to kill him, how they're going to spit on him and harass him. And all these things Jesus Christ is telling about his suffering. And here disciples are thinking about.
And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory.
Now see how selfish thing is it? Jesus Christ is talking about suffering, and they're saying, in your kingdom, one brother should be on your left, one brother should be on your right. If you read in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 23, now whose idea is this? Is this mother's idea, or is this their own idea? Could you read that?
Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left, in thy kingdom.
Now see, I don't know this mother's idea, or this the children's idea. Children, they were not children. They were grown-up men. Come and ask Jesus. I don't know, they convinced the mother to come. But when Jesus started talking, James and John supported mother in Matthew. And then Jesus Christ said to them, This is not easy what you are asking. Let's go back to the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 38.
But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared.
When you read it in the Matthew, it says, It is in the hand of my Father. Here it says, It is appointed. Only God knows who is going to sit left and right. And he tried to say, Whatever the cup I'm going to drink, are you going to drink? Whatever the baptism I'm going to get, are you going to be baptized with? So he was saying, I'm going to have a fire baptism. I'm going to have suffering. I'm going to have the cup of suffering. Are you going to do that? They said, Yes, we will do. Okay, even though you do that, it is not in my hand. Just think that if Jesus Christ would have said, Okay, right and left, both brothers, then other people will lose their chance. So he said, It's not in my hand. The first will be the last, and last will be the first. It will happen to many. So it is our chance. We don't know yet who is going to sit at the right hand. Not a Peter, not a James, not a Paul. We have a chance. We can do more things for the Lord, and we will have a chance. There is no set room for other people. And then some other people are saying, Oh, there is a 12 apostle and 12 seats and 12 people are already ready. According to this verse, we have chance for each and everyone to do the Lord's work, and it is not for us. Father decides who will get it. Verse 41.
And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
See, this is the example Jesus gave. The worldly people are looking. How many people want to be president today? Everybody wants to be president. Everybody wants to be big, somebody big. The worldly people are looking for the worldly position. If you want to be a man of God, you be a servant. When you are the servant of God, you have to realize the man of God's or the pastor's job is the greatest job in the whole wide world. The king has to go to church. So point I'm making, the people has to realize what God has given to us is not to be a master or somebody, but to serve. God has called us to serve. He says, I came here to minister to people and give my life for the mankind. And so he has already set up an example. He says, don't try to be big. The devil wanted to be like God. So the word of God says his pride brought him down. And now, instead of the servant of God, he became enemy of God. Okay, let's go and finish this. Verse 46.
And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus.
Now this story, you read in Mark, talking about the one man, blind Bartimaeus, and his father's name is given. But when you read it in Matthew, he's saying they were two blind men. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 39. We don't have to read it. When you go home, you read it. And the Luke chapter 18, verse 35 to 43, Luke says there was one blind man. He doesn't give name. But now somebody will ask you, which is the truth story? Is the two blind men were there? Or one blind man was there? Or how the story goes? Now I think there were two blind persons, two blind people sitting side by side, begging, but the only blind Bartimaeus starts shouting louder than other guy. And when he starts shouting, the people says, stop it. So he kept on shouting. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when you read in the Matthew, both of them saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. They were shouting, but one person was shouting louder than other person. And Bartimaeus' name is given, his father's name is given. So when they came, both of them came, and when you read in Matthew, Jesus Christ touched their eyes and both of them got healed and both of them followed Christ. And here, the Bartimaeus, when he got healed, the word of God says he was a beggar. And when Jesus Christ called him, they says, be of good comfort. Don't worry. You will be all right. Jesus is calling. Once he heard about Jesus' calling, he threw his bowl, his clothes and everything. He got faith. He started saying, I don't need this thing now. I don't need a stick. I don't need this cloth. I don't need beggar's jacket or anything. I'm going to go to Jesus. And as soon as he went to Jesus Christ, see what happened. Read verse 51.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
Now somebody will say, this blind man comes to Jesus Christ and he says, O son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus Christ is saying, what should I do for you? So Jesus doesn't know that this man is asking sight. What the Bible is saying, when you asking God, God knows everything what you need. But you have to say what you want. So he says, I want my eyes to be healed. I want to see.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.